Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte. Careful making wishes in a dark, can't be sure when it hit that. Up in the sides in the
meantime, I'm just dreaming of tearing you apart. That is hammered out to deep left field. Forget about it. Big fly for Mike Trout, and the Angels have tied this one up.
I'm Trent Rush.
This is Brandon Marsh for Los Angeles Angels and 66ers Baseball.
This is Joe Adell here with the Los Angeles Angels.
I'm Troy Hunter Jr.
You're listening to the All Angels Podcast.
What is up? It is your boy Johnny Mags, joined as always with
Daniel Garcia.
Also with Chris the Curator Johnson here. We are back for another edition of the All Angels Podcast. We're going to do our weekly review, which is really only one game because Daniel and I went over
pretty much everything
weekends.
Else on
right.
Sunday. And then Monday being an off day. And then honestly, after that week, probably something that the team needed.
Yeah. So obviously, yesterday they started the series in Seattle. And the biggest news about that was Joe Adell made his major league debut. And that was the news heading into this game. I think everyone was excited that Mike Trout was actually going to come back from being on the paternity list. But little did we know that we were going to get surprised again with Joe Adell making his major league debut. So we'll get into all that stuff. I know we have some emails regarding that. And we got other emails that regard everything involved with Joe Adell and Mike Trout and all that good stuff. So thank you guys for emailing us. Let's get into it. Yesterday's game.
Kind of like what you said. It ended up being a pretty big deal with everything going on.
It was. I mean, considering, you know, really, it was already a big deal because Mike Trout was coming back.
Right,
but then Joe Adell making his major league debut.
Right, and that kind of broke Monday afternoon-ish.
Right.
You know, so the long-anticipated number one Angel prospect in the Angels organization, number two outfielding prospect in Major League Baseball, and I think, like, the number six overall by MLB Pipeline. So someone that's definitely had a lot of hype behind him, and someone that I feel lucky enough to be able, well, both of us, all three of us, have been able to watch him kind of grow.
Yeah, man, we interviewed him a few times for the podcast. We were in the dugout with him as he was playing over in Inland Empire, so we kind of watched him grow, and that's pretty awesome to see him finally make his major league debut. A bit of a surprise, but we'll get into that when we answer the email questions. I know we have a few, so let's get into yesterday's game in Seattle. Angels, Mariners, we know what happened the last week. It was one of those deals where the Angels just could not. I mean, they won that first game, and then the pitching staff just could not get it done.
What did Chris say? Oh, it's only Seattle.
It's only Seattle. That's why we're winning. Killed my buzz that day. But so much for that, because they ended up winning that series in Anaheim. But now here we are back. We're in Seattle. The Angels jumped ahead early, real quickly, as Mike Trout in his first at-bat back from the paternity list puts the Angels ahead 2-0.
Nola setting up outside. It's a breaking ball hammered out toward left center field. Hit well. Kyle Lewis back. That's gone. Big fly for Mike Trout. Welcome back.
My mistake. That was a solo shot. My mistake because later in that inning.
Same inning.
Goodwin gets on a walk. And then up comes Albert Pujols and gives the Angels a 3-run lead.
Next one on Albert. And he swings and drives the ball deep down the left side. And that one is out of here.
2-run shot for Albert Pujols gives the Angels a 3-0 lead, pulls them within one of Willie Mays.
And it's crazy, too, because whether it's home runs, RBIs, hits, whatever kind of the milestone that's coming up for Albert, it's pretty cool because you see a lot of these great ball players that he is passing and that he's getting close to. And it's just really cool to see the 660 right around the corner for Albert. And hopefully within the next week or so, by the time we get our next podcast on Sunday, hopefully he's at least tied it or, passed it by then.
Yeah, you're mentioning the milestones. The thing with when we signed Albert Pujols, we kind of saw this all coming, towards the end of his career, we're going to be seeing home run number 600. hit number 3,000 career RBI list. He's going to pass, I believe he's going to pass A-Rod for second all-time coming up pretty here soon, pretty soon. You know, Willie Mays on the list, that home run list. He just keeps passing guys, So that's a special thing to see with Albert Pujols in the lineup and seeing him as an Angel. One thing you can see is him making the move on these all-time records and these lists.
I think that's just still cool, even though, you know, the production that he has isn't necessarily as Angel fans you want, but it is still pretty cool to see it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Angels have a 3-0 lead. Later in the inning, the Angels' top prospect makes his major league debut at the plate, Joe Adell. First at-bat as a major leaguer, and he gets on.
1-2 again. It's a little dribbler. Left side. Here comes Kyle Seager. Transfer over to first. Not in time. First big league hit for Joe Adell. It's an infield knock.
Welcome to the show, Joe Adell. First at bat. Base hit.
There you have it. Jordan Adell. First major league hit. A little weak ground ball infield single, but hey.
But it was funny. They kind of mentioned it too. Trout's first infield or first hit as an Angel was an infield single, but the only difference is Trout's was an actual bunt.
Right.
Joe's was like a swinging bunt. So, you know, still way too soon to know if he's going to be that kind of a player with Trout capabilities. But dude couldn't move. And it was really nice to kind of see that right away when he worked his way down the line.
Yeah. It was just good to see him, like, get that first hit out of the way. I think a lot of the pressure is alleviated now. He's able to kind of relax a little bit. But we'll get to Joe Adell and his playing situation later in the podcast because we do have an email regarding Joe Adell and his positioning in the lineup and his playing time. But the Angels jumped ahead early again, 3-0 in the first inning, and then kind of went silent at some point. Dunn really shut the Angels down, and the Mariners pitching staff did a great job.
Yeah, from like a couple outs in the second to about like an out in the seventh, no Angels base runners, which for this team and the situation they've been in with the bullpen kind of raises kind of, you know, you're a little scared just because is three going to be enough? And then, you know, you didn't mention it, but Andrew Heaney did get to start
right
in this game. And for the last two outings, it's been really, really, been really good, but just really limited as far as pitch counts. And that's something we both have talked about, wondering why. So in this game, he goes 5 2/3, only gives up 3 hits, 1 earned runs, 4 walks, which has really hurt him, only 3 Ks. But he did get up to that 87 pitch total, which is about 20 as far as his high this season. Over, I think opening day, he went like 68 or 69.
Yeah, it was good to see him get into the sixth. I would have liked to have seen him finish that sixth. But, you know, I mean, at least he got into the sixth inning.
The positive, I think, with Andrew that this game yesterday on Tuesday, he didn't look as sharp as he did against Oakland or Seattle the first time around.
Right.
But he was able to get out of some jams. And I think a real true barometer of a good pitcher, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say he's like an ace or anything, but a good pitcher is how good can you be when your stuff isn't working or you don't feel it that day or, you know, stuff might be a little off. Because you could tell right away, you can see with the walk situation, him walking 4 guys, that he wasn't his top. He wasn't at his A game, but he was still able to work through some stuff, get out of some situations and get a ground ball when he needed or get a strikeout when he needed, get a quick inning when he needed it because of his pitch count was up so high. So I think considering it wasn't necessarily the outing that I think people wanted or hoping for, but I still take away that he was still able to work with his like secondary stuff and still, like I said, only giving up 1 run. So I think that helped me kind of ease the pressure or the tension when I see him on the mound.
Yeah, what, you know, right off the bat when he started though, like he walked the guy, then the next guy Lopes, he like smashed one down the first base line that Pujols made a great play on, doubled him off. And then Lewis smashed one of the shortstop, Fletcher. Yeah, Fletcher made a great play. So that first inning could have been really bad considering, but like you said, didn't have his stuff, but pitched to contact, pitched to his defense. Sometimes that's all you got to do is throw strikes and let your defense
especially
do.
Especially when you know you don't have it.
Right.
Like maybe it doesn't, the rhythm doesn't feel right. You just don't feel the pitches working. But if you're still able to get guys out and again, still get into that sixth inning, yeah, you're right. You would love to see him finish that inning. But he got there when his stuff wasn't working. And as an Angel fan, and I'm sure you would agree, you've seen so many times where a guy doesn't have it, and next thing you know, he's given up six runs over three innings kind of thing. So it was cool to see him work through some trouble, but get out of it and kind of grind through an actual grind through a start.
Yeah, and so with that being said, at one point the Mariners shut down the Angels. 14 straight batters went down in order for the Angels until the seventh inning.
Yep.
David Fletcher, Renjifo singles, and then Fletcher follows that up with a two-run shot.
That is hammered out to deep left field toward the corner. That one is gone. Fletch has done it. His first of the season, Gooby, a big fly.
That put the Angels up 5-1. That kind of was enough because the Mariners ended up scoring two more runs, but that was it. The final score was 5-3. After Heaney, Middleton, Milner, and Pena each went 2 1/3, which is kind of weird, like 2 1/3, 2 1/3, 2 1/3 here on my list. And then Buttry with the four-out save. Got a little nervous there because I didn't know. I thought they were going to go with Pena with a two-inning save.
And he kind of got in a little bit of trouble. Again, wish I would have been able to see him kind of work out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have a bullpen question later about the closing spot, and so we'll get to that more. But, yeah, I would love to see him kind of get out of
it. I think just because, you know, that first guy hit a double off him, and then he was able to get an out, right, I believe.
Yeah.
And then the guy got a double, and then he got an out. But then the way they scored that run, that hit that they got, was it was a great pitch, a slider. The guy just threw his bat out.
Right, and sometimes
– and
think,
it just dumped
a lot
it
of
in there.
This season for the Angels, they are just kind of – I know I'm kind of biased, but they have kind of bad luck as far as, you know, a guy gets jammed hard, but it bloops in. Or a guy, like you said, just throws his bat to stay alive,
right,
and it finds a gap somewhere. And it's just like – he. His, you know, and you see Joe, going back to Joe a little bit, I think it was his third or fourth at bat. He squares it up, but he hits it right at the second baseman. I think the exit velocity was like 100, 101 miles an hour, but right at the second baseman. And it seems like those Angels aren't getting those kind of breaks. You know, when you hit it square, you hit it hard, but finding a guy, and then some guys are just, whether it be the A's or Seattle, the guys they played, it's just you barely hit the ball and it just somehow finds that gap or that blooper.
Right. Just luckily enough, though, the Angels were able to withhold. The bullpen was able to just give up those two runs. 5-3 was the final in Seattle. Angels win it, pick up the win. Like I said, Heaney picks up the W. Buttry picks up the save. Angels pick up a win. Good day in awe because Jordan Dell made his comeback or made his debut, and Mike Trout made his comeback.
And then, you know, with Mike Trout,
we're not worthy! We're not worthy! We're not!
I mean, what was it, 5 days off?
Yeah, and then first at bat hits a home run. I was like sitting here shaking my head going, are you serious? But, you know, should I be surprised at anything that he really does?
Little baby bat?
Yeah, right? Papa Trout is
Papa
what
Trout?
Gooby was calling him. New
so
nickname, Papa
mean,
Trout.
Okay, I don't think they're doing
Papa
Players
Trout.
Week.
Do.
I don't think they're doing Players Weekend this year, but if they do it next year, can we get him a new nickname now? Because the kid has a kid, so I don't know
right.
if that necessarily works.
I don't know what his name anyways, would be. But Dad. Because it was kid with a
like,
bunch of eyes.
With like four eyes. Yeah, now it's Dad with four A's.
Yeah, so good game all around, obviously. Yeah, and that's the only – that is our recap for the week because that was the only game that was played. They were off on
Monday,
and they played yesterday on Tuesday. We're recording today on a Wednesday. So looking ahead now, after the series in Seattle, who do they go – who do they got next, Dan?
Well, like tonight they have – they still play Seattle. The next two in Seattle. So you have Julio Teheran and Dylan Bundy slated as those starters. After that, for the weekend, they play three out in Texas at that new ballpark they have out there in Arlington. You know, and they haven't officially came out with the rotation and who's going to play what games. But if you kind of look at how everything kind of lines up, it's a good chance you see Matt Andrees, Griffin Canning, and Andrew Heaney in those games. So we'll see how that plays out. Now that Shohei isn't pitching this year, and we'll get to that a little bit later. You know, now you're kind of – you have a five-man rotation. And I
right.
think unless some moves are made – like a Patrick Sandoval comes up sooner or later, or you know, a Suarez, a Jaime, but I think these are the five guys that are going to start again in no particular order. Andrew Heaney, Julio Teheran, Dylan Bundy, Matt Andrees, and then Griffin Canning.
I'm hearing the names that you're throwing out there, and obviously it's not a rotation that is stellar, or you look at it and say, oh, yeah. But I mean, I think it's, you know, what a lot of Angel fans need to realize that it's not terrible. You know, I think it's an average. If you get a Tehran that, you know, it's a typical Tehran, he's okay. And if you get Bundy that not, you know, that can, you know.
He's been good.
You're all right.
He, you know, Bundy in two starts has only given up four runs and has averaged over six innings in each start. So if Julio Tehran, and it's funny too, because when both of those guys got signed for the Angels, well, Bundy was a trade, but when they both came to the Angels, I was expecting more out of Julio than I was Bundy. So if you can give me that now, again, I'm not saying he has to be like a shutdown Cy Young type of guy, but you know, if he's just as good as Bundy's been the last two starts, then you know, I think the Angels are in a good spot.
Absolutely. And then Andrés, if Andrés can be the guy that we saw in Oakland or give us something similar to that, then you know, we're okay. Like we'll be able to stay in games with this offense.
That's the one I'm interested in seeing is Andrés. Which one is it? Is it the guy that was in Oakland that came in for Shohei? Or is he the guy that was playing Seattle that in Anaheim, where I don't know if he's got the nerves because he started the game? Because, I mean, you would think if he did that against Oakland, he should have been able to do something close to that against a team like Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll see. So looking ahead, I mean, obviously the Angels need to win. It's crazy because the way the season is now, every game's almost a must win. So, you know, it's not like, oh, you know, in a regular season where you can say, well, they're heading over here, you know, we'd like for them to split or whatever. But now it's almost you got to win every game. So I don't want to sit here and say, you know, I want the Angels. If the Angels can just win one out of these three, no, you got to try to win every game. So I think that has a lot to do with a lot of what's happening with Joe Maddon's moves and stuff. I think he's playing it by, man, I got to win now and I got to go with, you know, situations. It's crazy. I'm wondering that if the way Joe Maddon is managing is if it's because of the way the season is playing out, the way the season is. I don't know. You know, it's just crazy. But
you know, and then too, and we kind of mentioned it a little bit on Sunday. At that time, the Angels were only a game and a half back. Now they're three games back going into Wednesday. Again, we're recording this before first pitch on Wednesday. But yeah, they're only three games back right now of the division, which is the Oakland A's. So if something clicks with these guys now that they kind of have a rotation set and they're getting most of their guys back, you know, they can make a run. Again, they should be able to take a really advantage of a Seattle team these next two games. They're going into Texas who are losing pitchers left and right. Definitely don't have to worry about Kluber. And I forgot, I want to say Lance Lynn or one of the other big pitchers opted out. So, you know, they should be able to take advantage of that out in Texas. So if they can get on a little mini roll again, 5 out of 8, you know, 7 out of 10, something like that, they're going to be right back in there. And it's with the expanded playoffs where two wild card teams make it, two extra teams make it, you know, they'll be right definitely in that mix.
Yeah, especially since you're playing your division a lot. You know, most of these games
are... You're going to be able to make up.
Yeah, it's almost like two games per game that you play. Right. You know what I mean? You pick up a win, you pick up a game in the win column, and you pick up a game in the loss column, depending on what happens. You know, if you lose, and you lose a game here, and you lose a game there. So it's super interesting. It's going to be super cool to see it towards the end. And just as long as they can keep momentum and take... Like we've mentioned in the podcast before, take care of the teams that you're...
Supposed to
take care of, or if... You know, you're either better or at the same level as them. You need to take care of those teams. And then the teams like the Houstons and the Oaklands, those are games where, you know, they're going to be knockout, drag-out games.
You split that series, yeah. you come out ahead.
You're good. You know, the Angels, I thought, you know, in that opening series, they played Oakland well. But, again, pitching let them down. Same thing with Houston. It was they were in almost every game, and at some point they kind of blew it, and that's the things they got to clean up. So it's obvious. I don't want to be Captain Obvious, but I don't think that we're in a dire situation just yet, only because the division is where it is with you know, like you said, the standings are still very close. Angels being three games out, I'm okay with that right now.
And the news, too, coming out of Houston, again, we're still not 100% sure, or I haven't at least looked up 100% sure about what's going to happen with Verlander and his situation, but I think it is pretty well known that Osuna is probably going to be out for the year. They're closer.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, anything that kind of takes away from someone ahead of you, you know, you only benefit from that.
Oh yeah, you know, we'll take a key loss to a division rival any day of the week, and exactly. It goes the same way for them. I bet I bet they were super happy when they heard that Mike Trout was going to be gone. They're like, oh, he's probably going to be gone a week or two. That's awesome. You know, anytime something like that happens to a key player, to a team in the division, you know, the fan base and the team itself is going to be A-okay with it. So with Verlander being down, hey, I'm not really feeling too bad for the Astros right now. But anyway, let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back from the break, we'll get into, you know, everything that's kind of happening around the Angels. We'll get into email questions and all that good stuff. So we'll be back on the other side of the break.
No, those are the screams I used to make when I would cut myself shaving before I knew about Manscaped. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Manscaped, for turning my loud shrieks here into multiple peaks. Here, cream of the crop. Man, start taking notes because Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. Oh, yeah. Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0 has been beautifully designed to reduce painful nicks and tugs. Yeah, those nicks and tugs are gone. This is their third generation trimmer featuring advanced skin-safe technology. Oh, yeah. Technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. Yeah, nice and smooth. Yeah, that's right. And Manscaped engineering team obsessed over technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. They spent 18 months, 18 months perfecting that great ball hair trimmer ever created. The just released new and improved Lawnmower 3.0, the cream of the crop, too sweet to be sour, When I tell you this is premium, I mean premium. The battery will last you 90 minutes so you can take longer shave. And that water-resistant technology allows you to shave in the shower, too. Oh, yeah, in the shower after that long match. One of the coolest features is an LED light that illuminates grooming areas for a closer, more precise trimming. So many people have written in stories about the Lawnmower 3.0 and have sent your man here, sent them pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. And I'll tell you something, man, they ain't kidding. This is the cream of the crop. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off plus free shipping when you use armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off when you use armchair at manscaped.com. Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's up? Johnny Catfish here, ambassador for Groom Goon Beard and Body Care. Are you tired of your beard feeling rough and not so fresh? Do yourself a favor and do what I did and check out www.groomgoon.com. Groom Goon carries a variety of beard oils and beard and body soaps that will leave your beard feeling soft and smelling great all day long. Don't just take my word for it. Go check it out for yourself. Again, that's www.groomgoon.com. And at checkout, use discount code CATFISHTHEGOON, all one word, CATFISHTHEGOON, and receive 15% off your purchase. Why choose Groom Goon? Well, because your beard deserves it.
Hood Vicious. Listen to my show, The Punk Corner, on KJ Epic Radio, every Thursday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
There's no shortage of action going on with our partner over at betonline.ag. The sports world is slowly making its way back with the NBA announcing its return in late July. But right now, UFC, boxing, NASCAR, and international soccer all have resumed play, and BetOnline has the best odds for their upcoming games and matches. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NBA, NFL, UFC live every day for our devoted gamblers, and check it out. BetOnline also offers hundreds of casino games, poker tournaments, and the best props in the business. Visit BetOnline on your computer or mobile device and join now to receive your welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online wagering experts.
And we are back. So thank you to our sponsors again for making this all possible. Also want to give a quick shout out to Aced Out Clothing. We had a giveaway, about a week ago? Still haven't shipped out one of the hats. I'm sorry, dude. It's going to get shipped out tomorrow. I promise I'll get a hold of you. We actually had one of our winners was right here close by in Moreno Valley, California. We're based out of Riverside. I met up with her. She was more than just happy with the hat. She was ecstatic. She actually hooked us up with some bobbleheads that we'll probably end up giving out here, for you guys. So thank you for the hookup. And we appreciate our sponsors. And you guys check out A-Style Clothing. If you're on Instagram, It's in our bio. The link's in our bio. It'll take you directly to the Halo Haven Collection. And you guys use that discount code. And you get 10% off, I believe. Or is it free shipping?
10% off. Use promo code Halo Haven. And it doesn't need to be for Angel players. So if you have a cousin or a brother or a mother or whoever, and maybe they're a fan of the Yankees, or maybe they're a fan of the Dodgers, or they're a fan of the Braves, but you know, there's players, there's hats for those guys too. So and the promo code works for any hat.
Yeah, and it's player approved gear. So it's not like, you know, the players didn't approve this, or they're not.
It's not like a janky ripoff. It's not like when you walk out of a concert and there's this random dude in the parking lot trying to sell T-shirts.
Right. No, this is legit MLB player approved, seal of approval from the MLB Players, you know, association. So we appreciate, again, A-Style Clothing. And quickly too, on Instagram, if you're on Instagram, check out Archangel Pins. A lot of cool collection of pins. Archangel Pins on Instagram. So thank you guys. All right, so let's get into some news, man. What did you want to talk about as far as
so normally in this spot we would have the Curator's Chronicles, and I don't want people to think that Chris is here. He is handling
some
business.
Behind the scenes right now.
He's handling some business, so he's not able to come to the mic at all or as much. But he is here, so I know once Chris isn't here, we get a bunch of emails about where he is. He is here. You guys are going to have to trust us on this one. He is here. Maybe he'll say a word or two before the end. But talking about news, and obviously we can get into it. I guess some of the bigger news that came out on Monday was that the Ohtani MRI results came back. If you guys remember, Sunday after the game, he mentioned some discomfort in his forearm. They went for MRI. Monday, they get the results. It was a grade 1 or 2 strain of the, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it because it's very like doctorish.
Yeah. The plantar fasciitis in the ulnar collateral strain of the forearm.
Something
tibula,
right?
Manibula.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
But pretty much it is a forearm strain. Typical for this injury is 4 to 5 weeks or 4 to 6 weeks, but with 8 weeks left in the season, and it's very, very, very unlikely you see him pitch again this year, which is fine.
Yeah.
Which is no big deal. I think the benefit from it, or the positive part from it, is that it's not the elbow. It is the forearm. No surgery. It is just a strain. It's not a sprain, which is a micro tear or just a tear completely. It's not going to put him on the DL, obviously. He's on the DL. He is going to DH. Again, we're recording this Wednesday night. Pretty much at first pitch now, but he is planning to, or Joe said he is planning to use him as a DH starting tomorrow, Thursday's game.
I think he's a valuable asset to the team deep offensively, because you slide him in that DH spot. Obviously, he adds power. We mentioned in the podcast on Sunday he had back-to-back games with 3-run home runs. He's a guy who can instantly give you offense, you know, with runners in scoring position. He is a bat that you fear in that lineup, and that's something I think the Angels obviously can use. I mean, whenever, you know, we talk about the problems of scoring runs with runners in scoring position, Ohtani having Ohtani in the lineup helps. So you know what, I'm not gonna miss him pitching wise, because like I said before, to me, he's not a guy now. I'm not looking at him to be a frontline guy
now. And then next year too, he'll be a 4-year out of Tommy John.
Right.
He'll have, hopefully, when they get everything kind of settled with the coronavirus and kind of get a handle on it, he'll have a full spring, a full off season to kind of get back in that shape. And you see with the injuries that some of these pitchers are having now, and Matt Serger went down earlier today or kind of left the game with discomfort. You know, pitchers are going down left and right. So as long as it's not serious, again, doesn't need surgery, they don't see any significant amount of time. It's just with a short season. If this was a regular season, you probably would see him back in, you know, 3 months or something like that. But with the short season, you're probably not going to see him pitching, but I looked at it as it's a positive because they don't need to put him on the IL. He gets DH starting tomorrow, and it's just going to help the team.
Yeah, absolutely. So it just kind of sucks because we were kind of waiting for him, you know, and now that he's not going to be on the mound, it sucks. But guys, bright side is this guy can also hit. So
right, yeah. You're not going to miss a whole lot there.
Right.
So we'll get into emails now. And again, you can reach us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's allangelspodcast@gmail.com. We'll take questions every Wednesday. You know, and we've gained a handful of them, and it's good to see now that the season's here and stuff has actually happened. Player moves, players coming up, players going down. It's good to see the questions. So the first one's from Mike Kashma. I probably butchered that last name, but, you know, my bad. He said, Goodwin is one of the best hitters so far this season. He can't split slash platoon, right? He's got to play every day. And then he writes Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little shocked with the comments made by Joe Maddon about Joe Adell. Joe Maddon obviously said that Joe Adell needs to play every day, so it will be a platoon spot between Goodwin and Upton. Now, yeah, I mean, the way Goodwin's been swinging the bat, he's been one of the most productive hitters in that Angels lineup. It is kind of interesting to see that he would be platooning with Upton, but I think that's... I mean,
they kind of have been doing that already.
Right, right.
He has been getting the majority, if not all, the at-bats against righties.
Right.
And it usually it was him and, Hermosillo or Ward.
Yeah.
Splitting time. So, yeah, you like to see him maybe in there more because he does have an occasional, lefty versus lefty matchup that he does really, really well. But I don't know necessarily if it's going to hurt him at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the player he was before he got here. He was a guy who was probably like a fourth outfielder and then had a great season last year. And it's continuing on to this season. To me, I'm a little more shocked with the whole Upton situation where...
I would love to know what's going through his head right now.
Right, me too. I think we have a comment or a question later or from somebody regarding Upton as well. Joe Adell and Upton. You know, Upton to me is a guy... Who is on a big contract, and he still has three more years left on that contract. And I don't know how you're able to sit a guy like that down. And I think that Upton can be productive if he gets more at-bats. As the season goes, he's going to be a guy who's going to hit you home runs. But you also need to know that he's not a guy who's going to hit 290. He's going to hit 250.
Oh, yeah. But he's going to hit you.
He's going to hit you 30 home runs in a regular season.
Yeah.
So... I don't know, man. That to me, that's interesting. But I like Goodwin so far, man. I can't say that I disagree with you. But also at the same time, I kind of see where Joe's going with it, too. I mean, like you said, I don't think Goodwin will get hurt by platooning in the outfield. Right.
And then if you're watching on Facebook Live, Chris, the producer, Johnson, put up a tweet from Rhett Bollinger saying that Maddon expects Joe to play every day. And I think if you're going to bring him up at this point, you need to play him every day because you got to see him develop. You got to see him not be wasted on sitting on the bench where he could be in Long Beach getting reps. So,
well, that's the whole point of bringing him up. If you're going to bring him up, you better play him because otherwise let him develop. What good does it do for him to sit in the dugout or in the stands at this point? Not playing and watching. You know, he needs to get reps and, you know, learn on the job. And why not, I guess, in this shortened season? You know, why not?
So moving on to the next question from Duncan Healy. He says, hello there, guys. To say we are struggling with the bullpen would be an understatement. I heard Sunday's show, and I like the idea of having Pena be the closer. With Pena, you're also able to bring him in the eighth inning for two-inning save. I don't know. It just makes sense to me.
Well, it made sense to us last night, and it didn't happen. We were thinking that probably was going to happen. And it didn't. I like the idea of Pena being a guy like that.
It almost looks like so. Joe expects him to have a clean inning every time. And I understand as a reliever, you kind of want them to do that. But, I mean, you know, he wasn't necessarily in real trouble, I don't think, with the league
they had. Me either.
But I like Pena, and that mix for a closer. You know, you can do it two outs, or two innings, one inning. I like him in that mix. We'll kind of have to keep an eye on that and see who Joe uses late in games when they're close to see how he's going to handle that.
Yeah, and I like the fact, again, that you can bring him in a situation where you need him to get outs in the eighth inning and not really worry about not being able to bring him in the ninth because he can. So that's definitely in the, you know, in the cards for Joe Maddon.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens, but, you know, definitely something to watch for the next handful of games, and I'm sure we'll probably talk about it more on Sunday's podcast as, you know, more and more games are getting played.
Right.
Next one from Steve Atwood. Hi, Johnny and Daniel. Why do you think the Angels called up Joe? I was in agreement with you guys. Perhaps he wouldn't be on the team quite yet. You can't really say they bring him up for offensive purposes. Defensively, Hermosillo ain't bad. Not that I'm not that I'm not excited to see him, but I'm just wondering why now.
I don't know exactly why now. The only thing I can really point to is what we just talked about, is the fact that you bring him now because you want him to have playing time. You want him to have at-bats. You want him to have game situations, where in Long Beach it would be inner squad, and Joe must have felt that this is kids ready to kind of learn on the job. And that's really all I can point it to, because I don't see him being an upgrade from Hermosillo at this point. And you're not expecting Joe Adell to be the guy that saves this team from failure either. This is a guy that obviously is coming up to learn on the job right now.
And so kind of as our, what we're talking about, Hermosillo, I think it's, you have to point out that him and Walsh got sent down pretty much, got sent down to Long Beach. It's kind of weird saying down to Long Beach instead of Salt Lake, but got sent down. And then they activated Trout and then obviously brought up Joe. Yeah, I'm just, you know, I wasn't expecting it this soon.
No.
I don't know if, you know, because Hermosillo, again, wasn't doing bad. It wasn't like he was Upton and struggling.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he probably has more RBIs than Upton.
Possibly.
He has a couple good hits this year.
I know Upton has two home runs, and I think they were both solo shots, though.
So, we'll see what happens. Maybe they just felt like the time was right with them up in Seattle and then going into Texas with the lack of pitching. I don't know. But, you know, defense is something that Joe still has to work on, and he's going to get on-the-job training, like kind of like what you said. So it would definitely be interesting to see how it goes moving forward with Joe in the outfield. But, yeah, you know, I'm not mad that they brought him up right now either, but it was just – it was surprising.
Mm-hmm.
Next email from Lamar Washington. What's good, fellas? How are y'all feeling? This has been rough. And he used like three O's. But y'all are right. We ain't that far behind. We just got to get it together.
Bottom line, figure it out. Figure it out. Try to see what they need to do to win games. Play it literally inning by inning once the starting pitcher gets out of the game.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if the bullpen kind of shapes up a little bit, like again, I don't think the bullpen needs to be top three bullpen in the major leagues to make this team that much better. I think if the bullpen gets to like league average in a lot of ways, you're going to be able to see this team kind of take off. So now you're kind of with Ohtani being able to DH now full time. So you're looking at him, you know, 7 days a week, pretty much DHing, you know, Trout, Rendon are back, or Trout's back with Rendon. You know, Albert's having a sneaky good year. So I know it's only 11 games. So, you know, I know it's not a big sample size, but, you know, he's producing. It's two home runs, has one grand slam. You know, so it's the offense is going to work, and you're just looking for that bullpen to kind of get, like I said, if they can get to league average, this team can take off and make a serious run.
Absolutely.
So again, Lauren Codd is our next emailer. She says, "Hi, guys. Big win last night considering the bullpen hung on." That's true. "Good to see Joe. Should be interesting how the platoon job will go."
And that's what I'm saying with Upton right now. Like, as we're recording, right before game time, or we're at first pitch, Upton is in the lineup today.
But he's
DHing. So,
and Ward is in the outfield. Yeah. So,
They're going
against a lefty. I think you have to mention that there's a lefty
Marco
pitcher on
Gonzalez
the mound. There's a lefty on the mound, so you can kind of see how they're going to do this.
Right.
But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how a guy like Upton, you know, Goodwin's used his platoon. They did that a lot last year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be interesting to see how Goodwin does with, you know, maybe he has 2 days off in a row. Outside of injury, I don't remember the last time he wasn't in the Angels lineup 2 days in a row.
Right. And, you know, like what's happening today, you put Upton at the DH spot, you're able to put Ward in the outfield. There might be days where, for instance, Pujols is getting a day off, and you put Upton at DH, so now you have two outfielders that aren't normally on this.
That DH is going to be taken up by Ohtani.
Oh, Ohtani, you're right. But what if Ohtani, you know, days off or whatever, it's going to be a situation where, like, depending on what Joe feels he needs to match up, you know, he might put somebody in a different spot. You know, even Fletcher might get a spot in the outfield, and then somebody in the infield gets, you know, whatever. Who knows?
Right.
It's going to be interesting, though, for sure. With Joe Adell brings that, especially after the comments from Joe Maddon about him having to play every day, that kind of makes
And you're definitely going to put him in the field. You're not going to see Joe DH at all.
Oh, so, no. He's playing outfield.
I mean, so you're kind of platooning, and the way it looks like, you know, Ward can get in there maybe. But the interesting part is I'm going to see if Ward makes that cut on tomorrow, Thursday. The teams are going to go down to 28 from 30. So by the time we talk Sunday, we'll have some cuts. So we'll figure that out, and we'll see. So, but, you know, the platoon is the platoon. I'm just really interested to see how Joe's going to bounce back from it. Or not Joe, Justin. Daryl Roberts has our next email. He says, is Buntry the closer moving forward, or is Joe going to go with who he feels is who's right that day?
I think the latter. I think Joe's actually going to go with who he feels can close a game out that day. I don't think he's going into it thinking Buntry's my closer, Robles is my closer. He's just going to play by the situation and say, you know what? This guy's got a fresh arm right now. I feel like he needs to be the guy that closes the game out. I don't think he's going to go to someone specific just yet, especially after what happened with Robles and the kind of the troubles that the bullpen's been having. I think he's going to go with whoever he feels is capable of closing that game out that certain day.
Yeah, I think you can definitely say that's not going to be Robles.
Yeah.
But no, I honestly think you're right. I think it's going to go who's fresh, who's maybe had a good outing last time. You know, if they put Middleton in there and he had a great outing the day before, like in the seventh inning, maybe they next day give him a shot in the ninth inning. Same thing with Buttry. Maybe one day he goes out there in the eighth and he shuts it down 1-2-3. Maybe then the next time there's a save opportunity to give it to him. So I think honestly it's going to be kind of and Joe I think said it. It's going to be closer by committee. So it's just going to be interesting to see how they play out. Does Chris want to jump on? He grabbed the mic. No, not yet. Okay, never mind. Moving forward. Trevor Billings. Hey, guys. Julio Teheran back tonight, but limited to 60 pitches. Looks like we're going to have a bullpen game. Do you think they go to Pena since he only threw two-thirds of an inning yesterday?
He's a guy for sure. I mean, obviously, you can, depending on what Joe wants to do with Pena moving forward, if he's going to be a guy that he wants at the back end of that bullpen, then you don't put him in the third or fourth inning as a long kind of reliever. He's a guy that can definitely do that because he's done it before, but I don't know. It depends on what Joe wants to do, how he wants to use him.
And I think that's the great thing about Pena. He can be used so many different ways.
Right.
He can spot start. He can give you two innings, three innings out of the bullpen. He can, you know, we'll see if he can close. But as far as today, I think you almost have to because I don't know necessarily if they have another
long guy.
I can probably give you two.
Yeah, two, three maybe.
But with Julio limited to 60 pitches, I mean, what does he get into the fourth? Maybe he gets like 4 1/3 out of it.
4, 5, 6. Yeah, I mean.
So you're going to have to use a couple guys multi-innings. So you
right.
almost would think you would use, you know, let's just say he goes 4 2/3. All right. Maybe you bring in Holby Milner, Chris's favorite pitcher, to finish off the inning and get into the next. And then now maybe you get Noe for two. And then you get Pena for the last
right.
two or something, right. something along those lines. But it's been interesting to see again Julio Teheran starting tonight, Wednesday night, as we record this. It wasn't, you know, supposed to start right away. He was supposed to have one more in Long Beach, but I guess because of the Otani injury and another pitcher going down, that they need him to start now. But he is going to be limited to about 60 pitches today.
Yeah, interesting. And like I said, the Pena situation, it depends on how, you know, Joe wants to use him. So if Joe feels like he wants to extend him, he'll bring him in right after Teheran and see how long he can go. But like you said, like you mentioned, hey, if he wants to use him at the back end of that bullpen, he's obviously going to go with maybe Noe for two and then maybe use, you know, Pena towards the end there. But wait and see, because I don't know how the way the bullpen's been pitching, I just don't know how it's going to play out just yet, man.
Yeah, I think
that
is the biggest question right now going for the Angels is the bullpen. And you know, what's going to happen? Is it going to be something that guys kind of fit into a role and then they can just roll from there? Or is it going to be something as far as, you know, maybe play the hot hand from now on? I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see not only tonight, but kind of moving forward into the season.
Yeah, for sure. So is that it for the emails?
That is the last email. Again, you can reach us at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. Again, that's allangelspodcast@gmail.com.
I see the curator has something.
Yeah, I didn't know we were going to have a Chronicles, so should we hit the music? All right, let's hit the music. Here we go.
Let's go! It is a beautiful day for a ball game, and we still have ball games going, so that's a good thing. Sorry, I'm a little bit later in the segment. I had to jump on a Zoom call for work, so I'm over here in the corner,
the curator's corner
that John has decorated for me.
There you go.
The Mike Trout jersey behind me.
Autographed, by the way.
So I was a little distracted, so my apologies to the faithful out there that were wondering about me. I always appreciate that.
Told you he was here.
People that care.
Yeah.
All right. So today, kind of rolling with the memorabilia, I was named the curator by John at a 66ers game about like 3 years ago.
Yep.
John, why did you name me the curator?
It was funny because you have a crazy collection of Angels memorabilia that your garage is pretty much a museum of Angels memorabilia. And it was funny because we were at the 66ers game with another Halo fan, and we had a, you know, I had a nickname, Johnny Mags, and, you know, we got to come up with a name for Chris. And I said, hey, what's the name of the people that take care of the museums? Whatever. Him. And then you're like, the curator. I'm like, yeah, you are Chris the Curator Johnson. So it kind of just fit.
I have been also a docent in my life. So that's a docent. I think it's a French term. But it's a tour guide, fancy tour guide name. But so that's another that's another museum name. But I like the curator better. It's kind of stuck because in our vintage baseball league, that's my nickname.
Yeah, curator.
I had one right before we started. You already had one, so yeah. Johnny Big Time.
There you go.
So today, the curator is bringing something out of his.
Collection.
His collection that was curated. This is a piece of Angels baseball history. And it is, if you're watching on Facebook Live, it is a signed team ball from the 1961 Angels. And I got a cool little plaque on there and all that. But it is signed with how you want it signed. You got Bill Rigney, the manager, right down the sweet spot. And you got all the names. I'm going to ask John how many he can name.
Eli Gerba, right?
Yeah.
Steve Bilko. Okay. Buck Rogers?
No? I believe.
Yeah, maybe. Buck Rogers. Albie Pearson, obviously.
Yep.
Riverside. Ted Kluszewski. Andy Messersmith. And Fregosi wasn't on the team in 61. He showed up in 62. So not Fregosi, not Knopp. Rick Reichardt, right? I believe. And I think that's where it stops for me, man.
Well, you got more than most. You just ranked yourself in the one percentile of Angel fans.
Right.
But the cool thing about this baseball is that it was out of the personal collection of Tom Morgan, a name that I didn't know before acquiring this baseball. But Tom Morgan was a player from 61 to 63 for the Angels. His nickname was Plowboy.
Plowboy.
So I assume he worked on the farm.
Yeah, maybe he was from Idaho. He was from Iowa.
Plowboy. Mm-hmm. But he would come back and coach he would serve as a coach for the Angels from 72 to 74 and also from 81 to 83. I believe he was a pitching coach. Mm-hmm. But the crazy thing about this is that all his collection was on. Here's a site, it's kind of getting popularity, but it's called shopgoodwill.com. So when all the cool stuff and nice stuff gets donated to Goodwill, they pull it out and they put it on their own little eBay site. And not a lot of people used to know about it, but now it's people are jumping on. But what Tom Morgan did is every team he played on, he got a whole team signed ball.
Nice.
So there was a Detroit ball and all this other stuff, all part of that collection. So it's kind of cool to have a team ball from an actual player.
Is that how you got it? ShopGoodwill.com?
ShopGoodwill.com.
Wow.
They ain't paying us.
Wow.
Okay.
So you just happened to go on there looking for Angel stuff, and there it is.
Yeah, then it was there, and yeah.
Oh,
but
okay.
A pretty good price on it. I think I paid like a little over $100. So to have a piece of, you know, the original, you know, team and all that, something I'll forever cherish.
No, and that's cool, too. Like you said, it's 61, so the first year and everything like that, and I think definitely a standout collection out of the curator's Halo Haven.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Chris.
And too, I want to ask you any thoughts about the game last night with Trout, Pujols, and Joe being the kind of the main attractions for that game.
No, it was fun to see Trout come. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, like, we're kind of talking about, I don't know why that surprises us anymore.
I know, right?
But it still did surprise me.
Yeah, catches you off guard.
Just right out there. And then you look at his home run numbers at, well, I guess it's not called Safeco. What is it
T-Mobile.
Called?
T-Mobile.
I don't know. It's Safeco.
The ballpark.
Yeah, his numbers are ridiculous there. It was nice to see Joe, especially like you guys said. I threw up some pictures of you guys interviewing him down on the farm. to see, like, from there to now, and now he's up there, and to see, like, the fruition of everything is pretty cool. And then Pujols, I meant, his average is terrible.
It's been, though.
I meant, it's just terrible. but yeah, at least he's producing when it comes to RBIs, hitting the long ball, and for him to, you know, creep up on Mays, that's pretty significant. So it's exciting. Hey, even if the season's a total bust, it's fun to see Joe Adell up there and
absolutely.
The youth coming up. And can you imagine if you got Joe Adell clicking, Rendon, even Pujols, Trout.
Rendon, I mean, it goes struggling on and on. Right,
Rendon's struggling right now. Yeah,
yeah, but yeah. You know.
I don't know if that, what was it, an oblique coming into the season? I don't know if that's still
maybe, kind of possibly.
Nagging,
yeah, for
thing.
Sure. Or he's holding back a little, you know?
Yeah, you know. I don't, you would love to see him click on all cylinders. But, you know, once he does, you feel comfortable that it's going to take this offense to another level. Which is, I mean, the offense is already good. And I looked it up, I think it was yesterday's game, and this kind of summarizes the season. Angels top, like, three or four in offense and runs scored, and then also the bottom three or four.
Bottom in pitching.
Yeah, exactly. So
not a good recipe for winning games.
No, it's not.
Right?
But, you know, if, like we kind of mentioned earlier, if they get the bullpen situation solidified and just become, like, league average, then I think the Angels will be in a good spot.
Yeah. I mean, this team can score runs with the best of them. Obviously, they've shown that, you know. But, yeah, with Joe, with everyone clicking, it's just better for the pitching staff because the starting pitchers can go out there kind of relaxed if they're able to get early leads or whatever. And Angels can jump on some guys. It alleviates the pitching staff completely. Even when guys come in later in the game and they got a 4 or 5 run lead, it's better than coming in with a 2-1 or 2-2 run lead.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, offense obviously helps the pitching and vice versa. Pitching helps the offense because if pitching can click on all cylinders and the offense says, hey, we don't have to worry so much about pressing at the plate trying to get runs scored when, you know, when guys are giving up runs. Like, it works both ways, so yeah. Interesting. The one thing I did want to touch on about Joe Adell, you know, we're talking about us watching him on the farm, man. I think it feels so much better for us knowing that we knew he'd get here at one point. And
oh,
it feels
definitely.
Good to see him on TV.
Definitely. I mean, I still remember the first time when we saw him down at San Bernardino.
Right.
Kind of already had that kind of a hype because obviously with a first-round pick, you already have that hype. And he did good in Orem. He did good in Burlington. So you kind of already like, all right, you can't wait for him to get to Inland Empire. You know, I guess for fans, I will say, you know, I don't wish this upon him, but, like, he'll probably struggle.
And
he has. Like, if you look at his numbers at any level change, like the first, like you say, like 5 or 6 games at any, you know, going from low A to high A or high A to the double A, he, like, those first 5 games or so, you know, he struggles. But once he finds his rhythm and gets used to the surroundings, he takes off.
Yeah.
So, you know, as Angel fans, I think, you know, don't expect a whole lot right now, but when it starts clicking, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
Mike Trout in 2011 struggled when he first came up. He wasn't Mike Trout,
right?
So, you know, expect
down
it.
Too.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, he was there for like a.
Let me tell you what, being down at 66ers and being in the dugout and hearing Joe Adell hit a ball, the sound off his bat was a little bit different than most. He was hitting balls dead center, and it was pretty impressive. So.
Yeah.
The talent's there.
That's something you can't fake at all. So, yeah, it's there. Talent's there.
Yeah. And again, I know for us, it's going to be exciting to see some of these guys start working their way up to the majors because now you're going to have, you know, Joe and then eventually Brandon and then eventually, you know, Chris Rodriguez. You're going to start seeing these guys that we saw down at Inland Empire start making appearances, you know, whether it's this
crazy.
Year or next year.
It's crazy.
It's really cool to see these guys.
The influx of young talent. Yeah, I mean, even Patrick Sandoval, we saw him down at Empire.
Yeah.
Just real quick, you know, when we traded for him, he was a guy coming from, you know, single A over in the Carolinas, comes out here, single A in Inland Empire, maybe pitched 2-3 games, and then the next year, you know, he was obviously moved up, and look where he's at now. So the influx of young talent is there. You got guys like Jordan Allen, Jordan Adams, and Jeremiah Jackson, and even Kyren Paris as well. A lot of young talent the Angels have, and it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what if these guys develop into major league talent, or are pieces that the Angels are going to end up trading for something. But just to know that you have that on your farm system, you have that talent there, they're doing something good. So, and Joe is one of the guys that obviously will prove to you that the Angels in the last 5 years have done something right. You know, because when was the last time we had somebody like this, Mike Trout?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Do a sneaky, and I think I texted you this last night when they're saying like, oh, you know, he's the youngest Angel to make an appearance or making a debut since Mike Trout. But they put like a list of a bunch of guys that are like in their early 20s that made debuts with the Angels. And I'm like, Casey Kochman. I didn't realize
he 21.
Like, yeah, I didn't realize he was that. I mean, back then, I guess I didn't just, you know, hey, whatever, made a debut. Great. But like, I didn't realize he was that young when he made a debut.
Yeah, it was funny because he was part of that lineup for about 2 years there, and then they traded him away for Mark Teixeira,
which led to Trout.
Yeah, which led to Trout. But you know, the Angels got Teixeira, who ended up helping the Angels win 100 games that year. He had like 23 home runs in that second half of the season. I mean, Mark Teixeira did a lot for the Angels in that short period of time that he was here. But that not only opened the door for the Angels to sign Mike Trout, because when he signed with the Yankees,
or drafted,
The Yankees signed Teixeira, so the Angels picked up the Yankees draft pick.
So the qualifying
offers. So the Angels had the number 24, number 25 pick that year. They picked Randall Grichuk ahead of Mike Trout, believe it or not.
Which isn't bad. I mean,
no, that's a great draft.
Grichuk is still playing.
Oh, yeah, and he's solid.
Right, so at the time, like, if it's anyone but Mike Trout, you're thinking, okay, whatever.
Right.
It's a good draft. But, like, it's like when Jordan went third.
Right.
It's like, oh, how do you miss him? It's like, or how do you not draft Trout with your first pick in the first? It's like, you know, if everyone had this down, you know, there'd be a bunch of superstars everywhere, but it's just drafting is so hard.
Kobe was drafted 13th.
Drafting is so hard.
13th. But not only did that lead to the Angels signing Mike Trout, but that led to Kendrys Morales taking over first base and being a perennial All-Star MVP candidate for like 3 years before he broke his leg. But Kendrys Morales, that very next year, hit like 34 bombs, drove in 100 and something RBIs and batted over 300. And I think he had three straight 30 home run seasons before breaking his leg at the plate. And I was at that game, by the way. But what I'm trying to get at is young talent. You bring a young talent up like that, having a lot of young talent is great, because eventually either they become great players for you or they're trade pieces or something happens where it makes your team better.
Yeah, exactly. So the overall depth of the Angels system is just going to benefit it. Right, you know, granted, you're not going to see probably every single one of these guys in an Angel uniform, but you know, they will help get these guys, get pitching or other players into the Angels organization and help make a winner.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think that's it, right? I don't think we have anything else on the docket.
Chris, you got any final thoughts while you're over there in the corner?
I'm just wondering, if you're watching online, why John's wearing a Dodger hat.
Damn, he's not, but yes. I'm sure a lot of people are wondering the same thing.
Well, you know, I answered that 1961 ball question there, and I don't think a lot of people know that this hat's, you know, an original Angels hat from the PCL days, man. You know, name two PCL Angels.
Steve Boko. And Steve Boko.
I don't know any other PCL Angels, to be honest with you. Oh, Chuck Connors, right?
Yeah, Chuck Connors.
There you go.
The Rifleman.
Yeah. So there we go.
Way over my head, but all right.
All right, so that's going to do it for this edition of the All Angels Podcast. Again, if you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns for the podcast, hit us up at allangelspodcast@gmail.com. That's allangelspodcast@gmail.com. On Instagram and on Twitter, we're at @Halo_Haven. Hit us up there, too. And, yeah, give us a holler. DM us. You have questions, let us know. A-Style Clothing, again. Archangel Pins. Also, again, remember, guys, we are in the middle of the season, which every strikeout that the Angels have we're donating $1 to the Tyder Skaggs Foundation. If you guys want to make a donation as well, hit up TyderSkaggsFoundation.org, where you can make a donation or you can buy some of the gear that they have on there. Or if you want to be a part of our pot, let us know. Reach out to us if you want to donate to us on behalf of, you know, to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation. We're going to do that as well. We can add that to our pot. But right now we're at $99.
Coming into the Wednesday night game.
Right. I don't think Teron struck out anybody in that first inning, but we're at $99. And, man, this is a great deal. So if you guys want to donate again, TylerSkaggsFoundation.org, or was it Tyler Skaggs Foundation on Instagram?
Tyler Skaggs Foundation on Instagram. It's again, like we said, you know, this is a way for us kind of paying it forward when we started this whole thing, and we are able to try to do something, you know, to help Tyler's name stay in the community that he always helped out. So he was a local kid, again, was Santa Monica High School.
Santa Monica.
So it just only makes sense that we somehow help that name still carry weight in that community, and donating to the Tyler Skaggs Foundation is definitely the way, I think definitely the best way to doing it.
Absolutely. All right. So that's going to wrap it up for us here today. We'll be back on Sunday for another podcast, and again on Wednesday, guys. So check us out again. Thank you guys for listening. I am Johnny Mags.
I am Dion Garcia.
And he is.
You know who you are.
Oh, man, I'm having a rough day. Chris, the Curator Johnson.
And you've listened to another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.